Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hawks made a big move yesterday. Are they going to make another big move tonight? NBA draft goes on at State Farm Arena. Draft party happening. Anse Sala, general manager of our Hawks, going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for that. Mike and I have a lot of questions for him. And it's going to be his first time on our show since becoming the general manager. Guys, he was with the front office, but Landry Fields was the face
right
of the front office at that time. And so this is his vision. And certainly they went out and hired a couple of guys to help him build this team when they went out and got Bryson Graham and Peter Dinwiddie from the Sixers. So we'll talk to them about all that and the restructuring and all that stuff coming up. Mike, as we've been talking about the Porzingis deal, it's funny. A lot of guys saying this is like some guys, not all,
right,
said they feel like this is like the Chris Sale. When we got Chris Sale, and there was like, oh, I'm not sure. There's a lot of upside he lives up to it.
You thought that, hey, he's damaged goods now. Chris Sale will never get back to that kind of elite level.
Yes.
And you banked on the future, and Alex Anthopoulos looked like he always does, generally a stinking genius with these deals. So, hey, that's a great comparison, a good comp if that's the case. Porzingis brings something we haven't had. You know, as I said, I mean, if you could take some of the athleticism and the pick and roll of John Collins with his outside perimeter game, that's a nice, but that's not the way it works. So you're still not getting some of those things you really want in the minds of some Hawks fans. But I think even the guys who are kind of sitting there with their arms crossed going, yeah, you still got to agree it's the best guy, the biggest name that Trey's had alongside since he started in the NBA.
No doubt. And again, he comes in here and he's able to give us 19 a game, guys. That increases our scoring potential and certainly our three-point shooting. There are a lot of reasons to be excited about the Porzingis deal, but I get the hesitation when it comes to the injury stuff. But that's a great analogy about Chris Sale because there were a lot of folks like, and I just knew he was a dog. I don't know about Porzingis from that standpoint. The desire, Mike, where he just, you know, wants to prove everybody wrong. Chris Sale was coming off that injury, and he wanted a new scenery, new scenery. I knew he was going to be committed.
And he's a dog.
Chris,
he's a competitor. Wow. I know that gets thrown around, but he's one of those guys. It's ironic, you know, the old days of the Braves, you know, Maddox, Glavin, Smoltz, those were the guys that you really wanted as leaders. Unfortunately, they were playing golf four days out of the week. You know what I mean? They didn't get to play every day. But that's a kind of, you know, heart and soul guy. Hey, man. And if you're Trey, I mean, does this signal that, look, we are trying to improve this team? And again, guys, it's just part one. Everybody wants to know, well, now what? Well, again, there's more stuff to happen. Free agency technically doesn't begin until July 6th, so there's more moves potentially, and we'll try to get as much out of Anse Sala as we can coming up.
All right, real quick, Ed, what's going on, Ed? Appreciate the tweet at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, Mike Bell, ATL, he says, fellas, I think wrestler has short arms and long pockets, meaning he's not shown us as a fan base his ability to spend the kind of money that we expect him to spend, even though he's got it. It's not as if he doesn't have it. And I said, look, Ed, maybe you're right about this. The part about this is, though, and this is where I have to be fair with our ownership, you've been in the play-in for the last 4 years.
Right.
Every year you go, we're going to be better, and then you get to this point where you realize, hey, we're going to win 40, 45 games, and we're back in the play-in. If you own this team, why would you spend the extra in the aprons and the taxes that are associated with that if you knew that that was the ceiling for your team? See, I think it has to be shown to wrestler that not only are we a championship competitive team, but, Mike, we're going to get past the first round.
Right.
We're a team that maybe can get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, and not just 1 year. Can we do it a couple of seasons and have some real continuity and some runs in us before he says, all right, you know what, now it's time for me to go all in? I just feel like that's why he's been hesitant, even though I agree with Ed completely.
But I think you got to take it back to 21, 22. Okay, all of a sudden, you know, they give Red Velvet the extension, and now, then they move Red Velvet.
Money.
And that's the kind of role player, and that was a budget move. So a kind of guy, like, whatever you think about Kevin Herter, what he's done after he left us, and he had one great season in Sacramento that was kind of uneven, but Herter is the kind of bench piece, you don't take that off and strip that off the car. You know, now you got a car missing, and now you're missing some trim, right?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
that's you
it's
keep
missing
that.
Trims.
You know, so that's a piece. So that was a signal to me that we're going the wrong way. And then eight, and then here you go. 8th, 7th, 10th, 9th. Haven't been over 500 since 21-22. You know, and I know that Bogey, like Bogey wasn't cheap, and Bogey had his own limitations as far as how healthy you could ever see Bogey if you had a back-to-back. You know, Bogey wasn't going to play. So all of a sudden, we start losing pieces and we're stripping it away. Gallinari, that was a nice piece. That 21 roster had a lot of things which we haven't had subsequently. And I just think the owner, you got to build off a championship season, not go backwards. Yes. So as much as I understand the economics of not throwing money down the well, show me that you care. Show me it's more about this great real estate development I'm looking at across the street here.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be the most luxurious development in Metro Atlanta.
It is. It is. In a very, very long time.
Yes.
It really is. All right, man. More to get to. Nick Friedell is going to join us, Odyssey NBA Insider. Right now, though, let's get to 4th and 1. Mike, remember when Aaron Rodgers said that he flew into New York and then he had the conversation with Aaron Glenn, the new coach? And
he flew cross-country at his own expense, only to be told by Aaron Glenn, see ya.
Well, he asked him, do you want to be here, Aaron Glenn, allegedly. Right. And Aaron said, yeah, I want to be here, and then basically told him to beat it. I don't think Aaron Glenn didn't say anything that that was said by Aaron Rodgers. Maybe he said all of that, because here's the latest quote from Aaron Glenn when it comes to his new quarterback, Justin Fields. Justin is winning over his teammates. He's not trying to be a celebrity quarterback. He's just trying to be himself. Shots fired. Because that is what he wanted to get away with, or away from, should I say, when you know, he was talking to Aaron Rodgers. I don't think they wanted to sign Aaron. They did that whole meeting thing just to say they did it. But I don't think they had any intentions. And maybe Aaron was telling the truth about how nasty and disgusting that meeting went, because everybody's like, oh, that couldn't have happened. Maybe it did.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe Aaron Glenn had nothing but contempt for him, but I think at least common courtesy. You don't make a guy fly all the way across country. Hell, man, you do a damn Zoom meeting. You look into his eyes over a television monitor. But again, I don't trust anything Aaron Rodgers says because he's full of crap. So I'll give Aaron Glenn the benefit of the doubt, because that's, you know, Aaron Rodgers has a puffed up sense of self ego, and the whole world is wrong and he's right about everything. Okay, so I'll say hold off on that, because Aaron Glenn was a pro, and I don't think I wouldn't be led to believe anything we've known from guys who played or worked with him that he would treat somebody like that.
Well, I've known Aaron Glenn a long time. I've said this to you. I don't think this is who Aaron Glenn's a straight up guy. That offends a lot of people, Mike. And I'll say this: maybe that was the intent, was to fly him across the country so I could look him in the eye and say we're moving on. Like, to do that on a Zoom, isn't that disrespectful?
Well, that's just it. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, look, you know, it was also disrespectful of Aaron Rodgers to go to Egypt during a week. That he could have, you know, that was the only week he could go, was that mini camp. But again, that was before Aaron Glenn was coach. That was on Robert Saleh and Jeff Ulbrich's watch. Speaking of Ulbrich, by the way, making the news, talking about a guy we spent a lot of time in the last few months talking about, James Pierce Jr., saying that he loves the special blend of size and speed in the rookie. And he says, remembers the first time that he met him. This is the article, Carl, from Falcons.com. I was like, oh, my God, this is not what I was expecting, to have that size and that sort of movement and speed, talking about the individual, you know, workouts that they did. Evaluating him, you see the speed, the explosion, some of the things subsequently Coach Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot talked about. So Ulbrich's a believer. Now, how do you harness all that speed and power?
Well, he's going to have plenty of time to figure that out. I'm sure he's in a lab, as we like to say right now, trying to figure out what he wants to do and how he wants to use these guys. The athleticism has been increased on this football team, and just that alone is going to allow you to do some things that you've not been able to do. While we were speaking about Aaron Rodgers, this is what he said on Pat McAfee about this being his last year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it. You know, that's why we just did a one-year deal. Steelers didn't need to, you know, put any extra years on that or anything. So, you know, this was really about finishing with a lot of love and fun and peace for the career that I've had. I mean, I played 20 freaking years. You know, like, it's been a long run, and I've enjoyed it. And what better place to finish than in one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL? Mike Tomlin and a great group of leadership and great guys in the city that expects you to win.
Unlike where I just came from.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I didn't say that.
He might as well have. I mean, he's like, I've been to two storied franchises. Two. I'm like, wait a minute. What about the Jets? Are you leaving out the Jets?
Yeah, man. Look, I think even Jets fans would say, we're not a storied franchise.
Yeah.
We're a laughing stock.
What's going to happen in Cleveland, guys? Deontay Johnson believes Kenny Pickett, Mike, is going to emerge as the Browns' starting quarterback. Listen to this quote. I think they're probably going to roll with him, just to see, like, you know, what it's like coming off the season he had in Philly and having a Super Bowl. So I think they're going to stick with him through the preseason. Kenny Pickett?
Well, first off, consider the information from Deontay Johnson, the guy that basically quit on the Ravens.
He did quit.
You know, so, okay, that's his side. I'm going to say no, not two gloves Kenny Pickett, who's a bum. He said that, you know, he was in Baltimore, by the way, did a Sports and Suits podcast, and saying that I wasn't getting into, like, no run plays, no passing plays, nothing. I'm cold on the sideline on why he checked out mentally. Remember that he refused to enter the game for the Ravens?
Yeah, yeah.
That was a big story we talked about down the stretch last year. So, okay, now he's over there, and he feels that Kenny Pickett's going to be the guy? I mean, I don't know. I've seen all these you know, images, and we've seen some of the stats. Guys are breaking down everything Shedeur Sanders does. It is tough, though, man. When you're fourth on the depth chart, how are you going to be able to leapfrog these guys with the depending on how the rotation goes in the preseason games, right?
Yes.
Or what you're doing in practice, if they have those joint practices in Cleveland, for instance.
You brought this up yesterday. It's Dukes and Bell, 4th and 1, guys, brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Nick Friedell coming up. Odyssey NBA insider to talk draft with us. His thoughts on the Hawks' move to get Porzingis and more in less than 5 minutes. This collusion ruling.
Yeah.
So the Broncos owner, now it's coming out, guys. And this is kind of – it's weird, Mike. This is not being talked about as much as I would like it to be talked about.
Right.
Because at the time, and we're going back to the Lamar Jackson negotiations where he didn't have an agent, nobody was calling to trade for Lamar, and everybody said, well, because you got to give up 2 first-rounders. It was crap. Now we find out that through this investigation, there were a lot of teams that were talking. Broncos owner said they saw no need to pay Russell Wilson. This is also part of it, Mike. With 2 years left on his deal, they felt the team could have let things play out and make Russell prove himself. So, you know, these are the decisions financially that affect teams. And we're talking about this because, guys, when we say, isn't that weird? Like, it was weird how the whole Lamar thing went down.
And Arthur Blank was one of the, as you mentioned, Arthur Blank had to give his testimony in front of the arbitrator. Because when the Lamar Jackson thing came out, that, you know, hey, Lamar's trying to negotiate his own deal and he maybe gets traded. And then the teams are coming, like the Falcons, out of the blue. We are not interested in Lamar Jackson. Whoa. Where'd that come from? You know, other teams said it. Just to get you guys, I'll walk you guys back. You don't remember the timeline. So Jimmy Haslam, and remember, we were part of this process because we made a play for Deshaun Watson without having enough money to stay at that poker chip, no chips at that poker table. So we and other teams do the bidding job, and then Haslam throws that incredible guaranteed money package, and the owners freak out about it. And then Russell Wilson's contract comes up after he gets traded to Denver. And then what came out yesterday was the former Players Association president, J.C. Tretter, who played for the Browns back in the day.
Yes.
He said that he's expecting, and the league expects you, Russ, to further this by taking 100% guaranteed money with Denver. And he didn't do it. And then word came out that he called him a wuss. Basically, that was the word that got out amongst the Players Association members, that Russell didn't get a fully guaranteed contract because he's not smart enough, not strategic enough to push hard enough for it. In other words, letting it down. The league's rank and file and the Players Association, they want the NFL to be just like the NBA or Major League Baseball. Mm. NFL owners want no part of that. Mm. And that's why they wanted to strangle Jimmy Haslam for giving that crazy contract to Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, because nobody wants to do that again. And by the way, it hasn't happened again.
Correct.
Nobody's gotten $230 million guaranteed.
But surprised that Mr. Unlimited, who at the time his brand was not crap, didn't not push for that.
All right. We're going to talk about the NBA draft tonight. We're down here at State Farm Arena. Draft party going on tonight for Hawks fans, season ticket holders, guys. Nick Friedell is going to join us next. We'll find out what he thinks about what we did in this Porzingis trade and more coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
He is our Odyssey Sports NBA insider, Nick Friedell. Insider calls brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at State Farm Arena. Nick, good to have you back on the show. I want to start with the big trade last night. We get, Hawks get, Porzingis in a three-team deal. And want to get your viewpoint on what that means, in your opinion, for the Hawks. And where is Porzingis right now in his career? We know he had that weird illness last year, but he did play for the Celtics. But the 2 years he was there, he played really well for him.
He was great when he's on the floor. But I always hesitate with a guy at this stage of his career. Guys, being able to be consistently out there. And there was that weird illness in the postseason, but when he was there, he still gives you a different look. He's going to be able to hit from the outside. And as far as Atlanta's concerned, the thing that would make me feel really good is Porzingis is in a contract year. it always seems like those numbers go up because they want to get paid. So more power to them. I like that Atlanta at least is trying to switch things up from the way they've been. But the biggest concern, of course, is you have a talented player. Can he stay out there night to night?
Yeah, that's just it, Nick. I mean, a lot of our audience is kind of lukewarm on it, and he is going to hopefully give us that audition year stuff you're talking about for a contract. But then Murphy's Law, we give him a contract extension, Carl, then he goes back to, you know, playing 45 games. What else would you do for the Hawks, man? You draft the big. I know with all the bigs, nobody's ready to go. No one's 100%, Nick. What do you think they do with that 13th pick?
This is the exact point in the draft every year, guys, where – if I were running an NBA team, I wouldn't worry about fit whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Whoever you think is the most talented player at 13, go for it. And if you're the Hawks and you have all kinds of different flaws on the roster and you're trying to figure out which direction you're going to go, this is where you have to trust your scouts and you have to believe that they've put the work in that is going to get you to a point where you just have the most talented guy available. I think far too many teams get stuck in, all right, well, we need a big man. So who's the best big man on the board? All right, we'll take him and we'll hope for the best. No. Especially when you have a team that's trying to figure out what path they want to take. Whoever the guy is that lands at 13, get the most talented guy you can and run with it. But the problem, guys, is, as we know, especially in all these different drafts, you know the Cooper Flag is going to be a superstar. He is the guy. I like Harper, but he's not at that level. And then after like two, you're kind of like, well, we'll see. Right. I mean, there are talented players to be sure. But if you're Atlanta or any of these teams kind of in the middle of that first round, it is completely a crapshoot.
Let me ask you this. As Nick Friedell, guys, Odyssey NBA insider, we saw Orlando go after Bane, and I thought it was a really good move for them.
It was.
Thank you, Bane. And then we make the move for Porzingis. If this Eastern Conference is truly wide open, is Orlando in a better spot right now, considering we got Jalen Johnson coming back healthy, Rishon Shay in the development of him, Dyson Daniels, all first-team defensive player? Is Orlando in a better spot after going after Bane, or are we now that we've got Porzingis?
I would still take Orlando, guys, and I say that because I believe in Bane Carroll.
Okay.
I mean, he is just that level of star. For as good as Trae Young has been, and they had that run a couple seasons ago where you thought, all right, it's starting to come together. If it were me in Atlanta, and this is why I would put Orlando ahead, I would move Trae Young. I would say it's not working with what we have. Let's get back the most we can right now, and let's see what happens with these new younger guys that we've got trying to develop on the roster. It's clear when you talk to people around the league that Atlanta is still hoping for the best, and they're hoping that they can build around Young and he can be the guy that they need him to be. But if you're trying to take a leap, sure, you can hit in the draft, and that's all well and good. But count me in the group that just doesn't believe that he's ever going to be that number one guy that you can lean on. And so specific to Atlanta-Orlando conversation, give me a team that is led by Banchero and Wagner over a team with Trae Young any day.
Yeah, man. Nick Friedell triggering many of our audience members
right now.
3, 2, 1. No, it's a conversation, Nick, that we have people outside Atlanta, and we always say, Carl says, we're too close to it.
Yes, we are.
You know, and it's funny because some folks, we've said it, some fans would say he's never had the Batman and Robin. Porzingis is actually, even at this stage, at age 30, is the best player that he's had since John Collins. So I see both sides of it. But you got to have size. And an undersized point guard, we're seeing it. You know, unless you're Steph Curry, who is the ultimate unicorn, everybody else, before Halliburton got hurt, everything else you see, these are more athletic, bigger guys bringing up the ball.
Bingo. And guys, I just want to say a prayer for all the good people down in Atlanta right now, because that is an incredible sentence that was just uttered, that Porzingis is the best player that Trae Young has.
Yeah, it's true. Collins. It's true.
Oh, my. I mean, when you put it like that, it's been a rough go down there lately. But, that really is at the core of it. I know there are a lot of people down in Atlanta who love Trae Young. They love going to see him play, and they believe that if you traded Trae Young, well, would people still show up? I don't know if it would make that big of a difference at this point anyway, though, because in my mind, Trae Young is not that number one star guy that is going to take you to the promised land. And if you believe that Trae Young can still turn into the second coming of Steph Curry, good luck, because nobody's Steph Curry. He is truly a unicorn, and he's the best shooter we're ever going to see. Trae Young is not that guy. He's a really nice player, but he's not the type of number one stud that you're going to build around for a team that is still trying to get to some sort of championship contention. So the sooner the organization can come to that realization, I think the better off they'll be. But they feel like he can still be not only the star they need and the draw they need, but the type of guy who can help younger players develop on the floor as well. I just think that is the wrong pick, and they're stuck in the way that they're in right now.
So then that also means you're not giving him a Supermax. Correct? Right?
Guys, right. If you give Trae Young a Supermax, just stop talking about championship.
I'm just saying.
And development.
Because, Nick, you know this. This is something that's approaching, right? He's got a player option after next season. This is something that this team has to look at. We're going to talk to Anse Sala, the general manager, by the way, of our Hawks, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. So stay tuned for that. I'm gonna leave that right there for you. I want to ask you about what the hell is going on with Ace Bailey. What is going on with Ace Bailey?
When you talk to people around the league, guys, I think what pops out is you just don't know if Ace Bailey is going to have the type of mentality night to night and the love for basketball to work on his game over and over and over again, and defensively to develop the way you're going to need in order to be a force in the league. Mm. He has the chance to prove the critics that he has wrong for a long time. But as far as tonight goes and where he ends up landing in the draft, that's the biggest problem I think that he's going to have, is fighting that narrative of just how badly does he want it. And if you're a college kid or you're somebody that's trying to come into the league from wherever you're coming from, the biggest thing teams want to know is that you want to be in there every single day. You want to put the work in. And I'd say in this era especially, they want to know that you can play defense.
Right.
And if you can't do that on a consistent basis, or you haven't shown that that's possible, or there are questions about that desire, that's when you start to slide a little bit, especially potentially in Bailey's case.
Talking with Nick Friedell, guys, about the NBA. And, again, if you want to rewind to the Odyssey app, Nick saying, we're never going to win with Trae. His words, not mine. Hey, man, as far as the Eastern Conference, with Halliburton down, with Tatum down, with no Thibodeau to light a fire under Cat, other than Cleveland staying healthy, it seems like the Eastern Conference is going to be wide open next year.
I can't remember a time, guys, where the East was this wide open ever since I've been covering the league. This is the moment in time where if you want to try and make that push, it's there for the taking. And I still don't believe in Cleveland. I know we talked about it earlier in postseason.
Yeah.
I just don't think that those pieces are ever going to get you to where you want to go.
Nick, let me ask you this while you're in the middle of that, because we were having this conversation. You get rid of Garland, you move Garland?
100% I move Garland.
Okay.
Because I don't think he fits the best that they can get out of the group that they've already put together. We've seen it the last couple of years. I know he was hurt throughout much of this postseason, but go back a couple of years, guys. Garland, in the biggest moments, he had real struggles. And I think there's got to be a better fit for Cleveland for what they want to do. As you all know, and this is the problem in the league, we can talk about trades all day long, and this goes back to Trae Young, actually. But it is so rare for a team when you're trading a player of a certain caliber or the team feels they're of that caliber to get back any kind of equal value in return. So specific to Garland, if I were the Cavs, I would absolutely make that move because I don't think he is that kind of guy. But from a broader standpoint in the East, if you think you have any kind of chance, now's the time. And I know the Magic made that move, and people are like, oh, man, you know, they gave up a lot. I think part of that was because of the KCP deal and to get off that. But now that looks even better because you have Indiana. They're going to be not the same without Halliburton. The Celtics, we know their story without Tatum, and they've already started making the move. Now is when you go for it. And if you feel like you're close, put your chips in and see what happens. But there are so many different subplots in the East. There is such a depth of different teams that have a chance. And I can't remember a time when if you were running an Eastern Conference team, you legitimately thought before the season started, hey, it could be us. Because so often it's one or two teams. Now you've got five or six, seven teams that believe that they have a legit chance to get out and into the finals next year.
Last thing, Derek Queen out of Maryland is in this 11, 12, 13, 14 range if we stay there. Danny Wolf from Michigan. What do you think of Queen? What do you think of Wolf?
I think Queen had some pretty big moments at his time in Maryland, and I think that he's got a chance to really develop. I mean, if that were the pick, guys, Queen would be the player that I would go with because I think that he has shown he's not going to back away from being the guy when you need somebody to hit the shot or you need somebody to make a play. When you see that in college, a lot of the time it can translate once you get to a bigger stage in the league. So if he's there and I'm Atlanta, that would probably be the direction I'd go.
Nick, appreciate you stopping by as always. Odyssey MLB NBA insider, should I say, Nick Friedell joining us here. Should be an interesting draft, man. Appreciate you joining us.
Always, guys. Enjoy being with you. Have a good one.
Cool beans, man. Yeah, it's anytime we get somebody, as we said, talking to Nick Carl from outside Atlanta, they don't believe in trade the way Atlanta Hawks fans believe in trade.
Different perspective. And by the way, we need that. It's like somebody analyzing your friend group, and you think all your boys are cool, but that one person who's like, they know, like, oh, man, and not really, oh, boy, right there, he's not that. You right. Need that. Somebody outside the group, Mike, sometimes to tell you that. And I think for Atlanta, we've been a little bit afraid of that.
He also reacted when I said, yeah, technically Porzingis is the best. Now, Jalen Johnson, we're, again, high hopes, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy.
He's not an all-star yet. Yeah. By the way, Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell brought to you by Hyundai. All right, we're coming back. Yeah, man, no, man. We're live at State Farm. You guys can chime in on that. Whether you agree with him or not, we'd love to hear from
you. Don't kill the messenger.
Yeah, Day-Day's next with Yeah, Man, No, Man.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Thanks to Nick Friedell for stopping by. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live at State Farm Arena. We got a lot more conversation coming up, including the general manager of our Atlanta Hawks in the 4 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for that. But right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
All righty, guys. We are here. Draft day is here. Exciting times as we see what our Atlanta Hawks are going to do. They've already done some things, and we'll see how they continue to add. Want to give kick this off first off, a special shout-out to you guys.
92.9 The Game. Scarlett Foster. Hey, man, what's up, Carl and Mike?
That was one Scarlett Foster. I ran into her and her father, Chasen Foster, at my son's swim meet yesterday. So we were talking about, I had the Braves game on my phone, and I was like, geez, this is why they were down 3-0. And he heard me kind of like, just kind of, you know, being flustered. And he was like, man, they don't have, he was like, they need a closer or something about a closer. And I was like, they don't have a closer. And then we just started laughing. And so, you know, he introduced me to his daughter, and he was like, yeah, man. You know, I told him what I do because he unfortunately said that time to time he tunes in elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had to, like, let him know, well, you know.
Smack him around?
I work with the big guys.
Thank you.
Right.
So, anyway, he said, oh, man, I love Carl and Mike.
You should have asked him how he heard them, but go ahead.
So, right. So, anyway, he introduces me to his daughter, and he was like, yeah, he works for the station. Do the jingle.
Ah!
And so she does the 92.9 The Game jingle.
That's awesome.
Told him I'd give him a shout-out, and I told her I'd play that back today. So, big
shout-out. Good parenting.
Yeah. Scarlett Foster?
Scarlett Foster and her dad, Chasen.
Thank you, guys.
All right, y'all. Mike, I think you talked about this maybe last week. FSU quarterback, Thomas
Castellanos. Transfer quarterback.
Yes.
Benched quarterback at Boston College.
Well, you don't sound confident, Mike.
I'm not.
Well, maybe you should be confident because he's trying to, you know.
Oh, he's got confidence.
He's got some confidence. Speaking to Pete Nakos, he says they don't have Nick Saban to save them in reference to facing off against Alabama
week one
at the start of the season. So, yeah, man, no, man. College football could use a little more smack talk.
Yes, from a guy whose teammates can back it up. Someone needs to tell Thomas that you got benched at Boston College, and he's a local kid, by the way. He was recruited by Gus Malzahn.
All right.
At the time, I guess. Was it Liberty? Yeah. Or no, Central Florida, wherever he was. But winds up at BC. Now he's in Tallahassee. Team won two games last year. So when Thomas says they ain't got Saban to save him, and he also added, I looked at my tape, they can't stop me. Again, I was looking at the rankings, but I think Alabama is sixth in the nation and Florida State is 105. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, hey, man, this is the ultimate edition of, son, your ego's writing checks, your body can't cash. But I do appreciate his passion.
I'm going to say, yeah, man, I'd like to see more of this to a certain degree, right? I'm not talking about, like, stepping over a guy or putting your balls in his face or any of that stuff, okay? Right. I do like the swag. But to Mike's point, he's got to back it up now.
Yeah.
And if he wets the bed in week one, which is very possible,
oh, yeah,
then it's going to be a long season.
And there's really no plan B for Florida State as far as based on recruiting and quarterbacks that they've lost. Yeah. So, again,
are you losing confidence in Mike Norvell?
No. I now look at Florida State this way, Carl. I've had three national championships in my lifetime, and now – because I live on the south side, I enjoy a leisurely three-hour drive through South Georgia. I pass through Kirby's hometown of Bainbridge. You know, I see friends at Thomasville. I go to the games. Sometimes I make it to the third quarter. Usually I go to College Town, which is a giant entertainment district of which I am a mayor. And I just enjoy myself. Take in the sights, the co-eds, the great food.
Okay.
Spend the night, drive home, and maybe we win a football game.
Wow. All right.
That's my vibe on FSU.
Okay. Wow. All right.
All right. Well, let's keep it in the realm of smack talking. You guys talked about it earlier today. I loved it. I think you guys both pretty much are going to say, yeah, man, on this. But we heard the audio of Spencer Strider talking a little smack to Juan Soto, talking about it's right down the middle. It's right down the middle, referencing when he struck him out and Soto was a little upset with it. But, yeah, man, no, man, seeing Spencer Strider pop off at Juan Soto, you like that for the Braves.
I do. I don't think we have shown enough emotion, not just this year, through the years, especially since we became really good in 18. And not that that is a defining thing, but as I said, the clubhouse was flat in 21 until AA went and got some dudes to liven it up, to have some guys come in and say, hey, we're going to be loose and I'm going to wear pearls and I'm going to have fun. And everybody else kind of went, okay, this is all right. I think it's okay to be able to back it up. Strider didn't say anything about his mom. He's talking about baseball. Mm-hmm. It's right down the middle, player. It's right down the middle. There's nothing wrong with that. And if Soto wants to make more of it, so be it. But, Mike, I wish we had guys who did more of this on this team. But, again, that doesn't mean you win a championship or put you in a different category. It's just, hey, I believe in what we're doing, man.
That's the thing. You know, we're kind of a button down when I say that, use that phrase, hey, we're corporate. And guys, what do you mean by that? I go, we're just very buttoned down. That's why a couple of years back, the preceding Jock Peterson was Josh Donaldson. And Josh Donaldson was kind of like, whoa, that's – whoa, where'd this guy come from?
Bringer of rain.
Now, he's got kind of a rep as an a-hole around the league, but it was kind of a shock to the system for the Braves. Jock Peterson was the perfect guy to keep things loose. We are those blankers. You know, that I love that stuff. And to have Strider, you know, Soto's sitting there mean mugging the ump and mean mugging everybody. Strider's walking to the dugout. I go, yeah, man, sit down the middle, man. Sit down the middle. So I love that. That's why we, you know, we need more of that, man. As I can see, Matt Olson, man, show more emotion. I think Matt's raking now, and I'd love to see just, you know, somebody be that leader. That it's more than sometimes they just lead by example. You got to leave a little edge.
All right, there it is. Last one before I let you guys go. LeBron James recently spoke saying that
again.
He believes the NBA should consider having an Offensive Player of the Year award as well as the MVP. Yeah, man, no, man. You'd be down with that.
Did LeBron suggest it?
Yeah.
No, man. Man, LeBron's doing a lot of talking this offseason.
Isn't the MVP that dude usually? I know they have a scoring champ.
You have a defensive player of the year.
Yes,
but defense is a special skill set.
Well, it is.
You could argue.
It is. And I know they have a score like this year. SGA won the scoring title, right? Averaged the most points.
And the point I'm making is everybody can score, not everybody plays defense.
True. Point I'm making. He won the MVP, and then he wins the finals MVP. So, I mean, like, if you're asking me who the Offensive Player of the Year was, it was SGA.
Right.
Like, usually that's who that is. I don't know if they need a separate award for this. Look, most times when you go look at the guys who ultimately end up with the trophy in their hands, they were really good scorers for the most part, right? If you look at the history of the league, when Shaq wins in L.A., he leads the league. Same thing SGA did, right?
Yep.
Scoring leader, MVP regular season, MVP in the finals. Like, that's kind of what this is. So, I don't know. I'm going to say no, man. I don't think we need an Offensive Player of the Year award when usually that guy's the MVP.
Right.
Yeah, I just think, you know, LeBron was funny. We were talking yesterday about him. The ring chasing thing, man, I sure wish I had what Cooper Flagg was going to when I was drafted first overall. And now it's like, nah, man, come on. Everybody plays offensively. Not everybody plays defense. So, come on, stop it. Stop it.
And he was basically trying to draw comparisons because in the NFL they have an Offensive Player of the year and as well as the
But the MVP is always a quarterback.
Exactly. Right. So, all right, that's my Yeah Man No Man for a Wednesday hump day. Thanks, guys.
Good stuff. All right, coming up, by the way, I just saw this last night. I guess SportsCenter posted it on social media. Can this duo make noise in the East next year? It's a picture of obviously Trey and a picture of Porzingis.
By the way, we really did trigger the audience, Carl, as we knew we would, with Friedel's comments.
Yeah.
Just real quick, I know we got to catch a break, but a brief synopsis of some of the reactions. Why do you have this guy on? Certified hater. I said, just to aggravate you, sir. Then went to K to the Izzo. Another guy's saying, hey, man, it is to your point, Carl, interesting to get takes from outside of Atlanta. That guy's a certified Trey hater. Another guy says, move on to what exactly? It's easy to say what a team should do. What's the next move after that?
Yeah, I don't think you can live in fear if you're a professional sports team and fearful of what's next. I mean, you know, yesterday when I'm watching that parade or watching it back from OKC, there was a comment made about them being a 21-win team just a few years ago. And then all of a sudden, you know, the same people who were riding with them saying there's no vision, they don't know what they're doing, here they are. You can't be afraid of what is to come.
Right.
And sometimes you don't know what that looks like, but you got to have the balls to do it. More on what Nick Friedel had to say about Trae Young coming up. But when we come back, we got to talk some college football guys. Also, we got an early edition of Guy Talk because Anse Sala, the general manager of our Atlanta Hawks, is set to join us at 4:40. Stay right there.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.